The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, hello to you.
Hello, guys. I must tell you, I've got my Purim costume ready. I hope you have yours.
I'm a bit of a killjoy, so we're not going to go there, but I'm sure yours involves high heels.
The shoe part I haven't thought out in its entirety, but it does involve a mask.
Okay, well, there you go. And talking about Purim and carnivals and the like, we're sticking with a carnival story today, Rolene.
Well, all I can say is this top story is absolutely grotesque, and literally in the last few minutes we've heard from Spain's foreign minister, who has absolutely condemned the parade that took place in Campo de Castano yesterday. He said he is horrified at the carnival parade. He says, I totally reject any banalization of the Holocaust. Following contact with the organizers, they have apologized to the Federation of Jewish Communities of Spain. It is essential to keep teaching about the memory of the Holocaust. Now, yesterday, just as we went off air, we spoke about, Alst in Belgium, the carnival there. And just as we came off air, we spoke about a carnival that was very similar taking place in Spain. And, the organizer said that the intention was to honor the victims of the Holocaust, but I just feel that people dressed up as Nazis in sequins with dominatrix whips and prisoners also in sequins with sparkly tights and Israeli flags, and then having crematoria and chimneys on your float does not honor the Shoah, the Holocaust, our darkest day in history in any kind of way. The Israeli embassy in Spain outrightly condemning it, as well as the Auschwitz Museum saying that this trivializes the Holocaust. And I do notice it's gotten a lot of international coverage in the mainstream media. A lot of people expressing their disgust. And, you know, the excuse that we were given in Alst, oh, it was just a bit of fun and it's free speech, that excuse is not being given here, which is something we can be grateful for. In fact, the organizers, as I've just mentioned, seeming to apologize. But this is a very, very, very worrying trend that, you know, this normalization of imagery that is anti-Semitic, that it's okay to kind of put this out there in popular culture, in popular expression. It's absolutely untenable and atrocious.
It's untenable. I do not have the words for it. And all this happening against the backdrop of an article like this that appears in the JTA today, which is one in five Europeans says that a secret Jewish cabal runs the world, according to the latest survey. I mean, come on. It's just so mainstream. It's just insane. This, what, 70 years after the Shoah, Rolene? It's just madness. Anyway, that's me on my soapbox. Let's move on to Bernie. Bernie strikes again, you say. What's he doing?
Well, Bernie, as we spoke about yesterday, had the issue with AIPAC. He said that he's not going to speak at AIPAC and accused the organization of providing a platform for bigots. And as we said yesterday, he forgets the surrogates. And I have to look up why this word surrogate is used, because I think of surrogate in a whole other term.
Yes.
But we have to look at these surrogates like Linda Sarsour, who are unapologetic anti-Semites. This is somebody who supports BDS. This is somebody who has said things like Zionists are creepy and has been at the forefront of the Women's March and, in fact, was forced to step down because of her anti-Semitism and because of her exclusionary tactics with regards to, you know, women like myself who identify as Jewish, proudly Zionist, and as an advocate for women's rights. But Bernie's latest controversy, and I don't know if he's like trying to overcompensate, Simon. I'd be very curious to hear your thoughts and the thoughts of our listeners. But last night, taking part in the Democratic debate. He is at the moment the front runner following his big victory in Nevada. That's the state that has Las Vegas. And to me, they're gambling pretty poorly on Bernie if this is the way that we are going. But last night, during the Democratic debates with the other Democratic nominees like Elizabeth Warren, Buttigieg, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and Joe Biden, he said that Prime Minister Netanyahu is a racist, the Israeli government is racist, and that should he be voted in as president, he would consider moving the embassy back from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv. And this is a comment that has been condemned by our foreign minister, who has said, you know, he's absolutely outraged at that. It's interesting that he commented on that and not the comments about Netanyahu, but it's a whole other observation. And today, word coming out that about 137 rabbis from across the board, from Orthodox to Reform and ultra-Orthodox, have all written a letter condemning him for his standpoint with regards to AIPAC. And AIPAC is a platform traditionally for many non-Jews, supporters of Israel, far right-leaning, left-leaning, non-Jews, anybody who wants to comment on Israel has come to AIPAC, and we heard that Joe Biden will be present at AIPAC as well.
It's interesting, Rolene, because on the one hand, you know, that's the view he's taking very publicly. On another, he's putting out videos sort of really making no secret of the fact of how important it is to him to be Jewish and how being Jewish has informed his philosophies on life.
You know what it seems to me? It's almost like the Some of My Best Friends Are Jewish campaigning. You know, he's Jewish when it suits him, when he can talk about Jewish values and he can talk about Judaism has affected his outlook on life. But when it comes to protecting the Jewish people, he's strangely silent. I mean, he had nothing to say about the some 60 rockets that were fired towards us, putting children, putting our most vulnerable in danger. You know, there were images of newborns. The neonatal ward in Barzilai Hospital had to be moved to the shelters. I don't think there's anything more heart-wrenching than seeing newborn babies being shuttled off to bomb shelters, or the image of the playground in Sderot that was struck by a rocket. And thank goodness, because of our propensity to keep civilians safe, our children had been moved to shelters. There's nothing has been said about that, so he cannot pick and choose when he wants to be Jewish or when his Jewish identity is important to him.
That's a really interesting take on that, Rolene. Story that I'm really keen to talk about today is the fact that certain Jewish leaders are talking about what should be done more to fight anti-Semitism, because a lot of us just kind of feel it's overwhelming. We put our hands up and, you know, there's nothing we can do. What positive steps are being taken?
Okay, so first of all, I want to address what you've just said about some of us feel it's so overwhelming, and it is overwhelming. You know, those of us who work in the field of trying to deal with anti-Semitism, you know, sometimes you wake up and you think, I can't today. It's too much, and every day it seems to be getting stronger. We have to stand up to it. Every single one of us has a platform to use, whether it's social media, whether it's educating our children, whether it's doing something. We have to do something to stand up against anti-Semitism. And I'm not just talking to the Jewish community. I'm talking to our allies anybody with a conscience. We have to stand up. Today, 75 years after the liberation of Auschwitz, we too have the same platforms. We too have the power. We too have to use it. It can't be somebody else's fight. And I think this is something that European Jewish communities across across the continent have realized, and they are now appealing to politicians, to leaders in various countries. The fight is not just a Jewish fight. You know, often we say what starts with the Jews doesn't end with the Jews. And there might be some who say, yes, but there's always been anti-Semitism. There has always been anti-Semitism, but it doesn't mean we have to deal with it quietly or not have to deal with it at all. It's so important that every single one of us becomes a warrior against hatred and hatred in any of its forms, whether it be anti-Semitism or any other kind of racism or discrimination.
Rolene Marks, it's 5:30. That's where we leave it. As always, I want to thank you really sincerely, like really, really sincerely, for your insightful and thoughtful contribution each and every day. Look forward to chatting to you tomorrow.
Well, I want to thank you for providing the platform for us to have these very, very important discussions. And it's extremely, extremely important to so many of us around the world.